Psalm 19, the testimony of creation. Let's begin by reading these first few verses together. We'll go through half of verse 4. Whoever did the verses here, sort of like put the beginning of the next thought at halfway through verse 4. So we're just going to stop at that place so we don't... I just want to go that far. Anyway, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Let's read and consider those words again together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Psalm 19, Psalm of David. Creation has a voice. Every second of every day, it's pointing us to God. And there's a general revelation there in creation that is seen by all mankind. Wherever you live, wherever you're from, creation testifies of its creator, all creation. The beauty of the natural world around us is a reflection of the beauty of God. Even corrupted, even fallen, it still carries His fingerprint. It still bears His signature. If you're into any forms of art, whether painting or sculpture or music, whatever, and if you have favorite artists in those categories, you know that as you familiarize yourself with an artist's work, whatever you're into, you become more and more sensitive to recognizing and discerning when that work is put before you. I could tell, for the stuff I'm into, I could tell if a movie was Steven Spielberg's, even if it didn't start out by saying that. And I hadn't seen it before, because I'm familiar with his trademark sensibilities as an artist, his visual style in film. I would know if I was listening to a new Beatles song, even if I'd never heard it before, because I've spent a lot of time taking in and studying their art as a musician. And for most people, they could say the same things for whatever they've exposed themselves. Surely you guys are the same way. Whatever you've exposed yourself a bunch to in the past, in right now, whatever's gone on in your life artistically, authors, filmmakers, sculptors, painters, musicians, architects, poets, whatever the case, you'll hear someone say, oh, that's definitely one of Mozart's symphonies. You know, oh, that must have been painted by Michelangelo. They can tell. It bears their signature, left behind by an artist. It's amazing, then, to consider the vastness of the universe. We don't know how far it goes. Every molecule bearing the signature of God. So every direction we turn, every place we go, day and night, we are observing the work of the great artist on display. And our Lord, who has poured His passion, His imagination, His vision into all that has been created, the testimony of that creation never ceases to declare His glory, to show His handiwork, His artistry. The heavens, it says there, it begins, the heavens declare the glory of God. There's really three heavens spoken of in Scripture. First, of course, is heaven, you know, which is where God is. That's a more transcendent place. It's not like straight up like kids think. And, you know, that'd be heaven. But then there'd be like middle heavens, I suppose you could call them. And that's the galaxies, the universe, the cosmos. And then there would be heavens in the sense of our immediate surrounding heaven, the skies. Whatever it is that's immediately around our planet. Atmosphere. Hey, we were listening to that song right before the service. Weird. Anyways, so there's these three heavens. And the heavens declare God's glory. It's speaking of a particular heavens here. It's not speaking of heaven. Well, obviously heaven declares God's glory because heaven is God's glory. But we have both of the other heavens given us here with two words, heavens and firmament. Heavens, the first heavens would be speaking of the galaxies, the cosmos, throughout all of the universe, every planet, every star declares the glory of God. And then the firmament. Firmament shows His handiwork. Firmament is more of the local heavens, the skies, our immediate atmosphere. And David is saying here in Psalm 19 that from the ends of the universe to the air we're occupying now, every inch, every molecule, God's glory is being declared. His artistry is being made known through every piece of those things, every inch of those things. Isaiah 40:22 tells us that God stretches out the heavens like a curtain or a canopy, and He spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. That's the power of God. That's the artistry of God. He can spread out the sky as if it was a curtain, a canopy. And the firmament shows His handiwork. God's glory is being declared and His artistry being made known from the ends of the universe to the air that we're occupying right now, even in this room. We read on in verses 2 and 3 that day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge, speech about God, knowledge of God. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now we're talking speech and language of man. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. There's creation now declaring in a way that does not require human communication. It transcends all language barriers, all cultures. It's always doing this, day and night. And this was what really drew my heart to this passage this night. I'd planned to be starting a book, and I was just like, no way, because we had an amazing thing happen to us while we were down at the conference. And it really had nothing to do with the conference, other than the fact that they put us in a hotel that was right on the beach, which is never a bad thing. And we walked out there late at night. We'd been to the beach before during that day, but, well, again, before getting into that, day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. So a couple days ago, we're in Southern California there for the conference. We finish up with what we're doing. We go out to celebrate. We eat in Laguna, and then we're walking Laguna Beach, and my cousin told me on the phone, he's like, oh, that's cool. It'll be red tide. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, red tide. And then, so he's like, no, the water looks really ugly right now. You'll notice, like, uglier than it ever does. And usually it's actually pretty beautiful down there. It looks ugly up by L.A., but that's our fault, not God's. But anyway, the water in Laguna is usually really beautiful, and so we're walking up the beach, but there is sort of this brownish-red tinge in it, and that's the plankton that are within the water, and it's red tide. And they're, because of the climate things that are going on, well, they're all in there. I'm going to read about it. There's a little scientific write-up here. Phosphorescent plankton. These are single-celled organisms that have characteristics of both plants and animals. Dinoflagellates. Like other phytoplankton, create their own food through photosynthesis, a plant-like behavior. However, they don't have roots, stems, leaves, or seeds, and they do have the ability to move, thanks to a pair of hair-like appendages called flagella, thus making them more like animals. Although the dinoflagellate, whatever, lattes are often found in ocean water in very small quantities, sometimes the conditions of heat, sunlight, salinity, water currents, and so on are just right, and the organisms multiply extremely rapidly, creating a reddish or brownish algae bloom by day. This is what was going on while we were down there. Reddish, bluish algae bloom by day. It looks sort of dirty, or like there's, you know, 5 feet under the water, it starts like there's a bunch of blood down there or something. And what these things actually do, the climate supports them. They start coming up rapidly. There's a toxin that they have just by nature that ends up keeping plant and animal life in check. It kills everything from fish to manatees and stuff, and it tends to focus on groups that are getting out of control. It's sort of like God's own control of nature process by these teeny little microscopic things that happen to be alive plants, like animal plants. Really, really bizarre element of creation. And that's what they're doing by day. They don't look totally pretty, but they're definitely speaking forth, declaring that something's going on. Now, by night, this I've never seen. This is a different story. We walk out on the beach by night, and we're sitting there in front of this lifeguard thing. I don't think we were supposed to be out on the beach, but we did it anyway. And because it's pretty, and we weren't going to do anything bad out there, like blow up anything. Why am I telling you guys? Anyways, we go out there, and after a while, we're sitting there and like, is that light shining through the water? Like, because there was a lighthouse that was, you know, flashing green every now and then. And as the water would come up, we'd be like, yeah, it's sort of like coming through the rift in the wave or something like that. But then it kept growing, and more waves were doing it. We're like, there's no way, because that light's not going. We're looking all around, we're walking around, where is that light coming from? And it's so cool that we're like, that's the water doing that. It's actually glowing this sort of sky blue. Something can't glow sky blue. It can glow like blue or neon blue, but this was like a sky blue, a phosphorescent sky blue. I remembered that it was red tide, and that at nighttime red tide is blue tide. And these things were lighting up. We went over to see the water. We're trucking down there, and John and Taylor were right behind me. They're like, oh my gosh, like look at his feet. Watching everywhere I stepped would glow blue under my foot because they'd been deposited during high tide all throughout the sand. It would glow in this way that, like, you know the way fire will billow almost like water when it's on the floor on planks of something, and there's parts of smoke in the, it was like that. It almost looked fake. Like we'd film something and then added a CGI element or something like that, where it would just glow like tiles Michael Jackson walks on in the Billie Jean video, you know, just and it was this amazing blue thing. And then we're like, we kick it, and then these particles of, you know, phosphorescent neon, you know, whatever, sky blue start flying through the air. We go over and it's doing it in the water, and what happens is, as these plankton, these phosphorescent plankton get agitated, and they do really easy, they're sort of manic depressives, as the water moves it around, they're like, and they like glow blue. And then as soon as it chills out, they're like, dun, 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 and then the water, you know, sucks them back and starts to push them, they're like, and they get all angry again. They're really manic depressive, they get agitated. And so this is just going on over and over. We sat there for like 2 hours just going, oh my gosh, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in all of creation. And I grew up in Southern California. I was mad my parents never took me to see that before. I already gave my mom some grief about it, actually, today. She felt bad. But she'd never heard of it, so it's okay, I guess. But I'm definitely going to go back to see this thing. It's the most beautiful, magical thing I've ever seen. You can't capture it with a camera because it's too dark to see. You know, if you just take it without a flash, and as soon as you flash it, you won't see it anymore. It's a totally amazing, beautiful, magical element of creation. This thing that, you know, looks one way by day and one way by night. And red tide, but not really at night, is the most amazing thing. And so, that said, we were really appreciating creation. And, you know, Taylor and I started talking about, you know, writing more songs. Like the hymns used to, a lot of them centered around creation and the testimony it has of God. And growing in our appreciation for creation. The next morning we're at the conference again, doing the ending session. And the guy that's sort of doing an afterglow time during communion, he starts singing All Creatures, which we sing, All Creatures of Our God and King. Lift up your voice and with us sing. It's a song talking about how all creation, you know, it declares the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. And there's a line in that song that says, ye lights of evening, find a voice. And of course, I always think about the typical lights of evening, the stars, the moon, the things I see when I look at the lights of evening. But now I had a different, you know, frame of reference, thinking these lights of evening, and because they can only be seen at night, and it only happens at certain times, and so just while singing that, I had this amazing mental picture of, you know, this glowing sky blue that these plankton provided, and I mean, we were giddy. I mean, John was running around, he bent over and started digging like a dog, and there was just all this fluorescent blue just like piling out behind him. It was amazing. I mean, I can't really explain it. It's the weirdest thing, but it was so cool because, you know, we're singing, ye lights of evening, find a voice. And then I'm hearing that and saying, oh, praise him, hallelujah. And that's exactly what they were doing. And exactly what we were able to appreciate, knowing the Lord. There's no place their voice isn't heard, it goes on to say. No place at all. Sam recently was talking about these deep sea fish that are so deep that we've only recently, like really recently, been able to develop whatever sort of camera or technology we need to go down that deep and look at them. No one's ever seen them before in the history of the world, you know, 10,000 years or so of human history. No one's ever seen these things. They live at the bottom of the trenches that are just, you know, if you try to take a submersible down there, it's going to explode. And so, new to us. These things are some of the most beautiful, in fact, arguably the most beautiful sea, or fish in the entire sea, are at a level that we've never seen until recently. And Sam was talking about, you know, well, not maybe not for our enjoyment, but definitely for God. He's enjoyed them this entire time. They've declared his glory this entire time. He didn't just put things here for us to appreciate, though we can. They all speak to his glory, whether we can see them or not, throughout the entire universe, where we can't travel. It's singing his praises, declaring his glory. New to us, but not new to God. Not new to worshiping God or declaring the glory of God. And so, it's so important that we grow in that appreciation of creation. And I've said before, as a kid, I never really cared. My family would take us to, you know, Niagara Falls or something like that, and I was like, okay, you know, let's ride the boat. And I'm just like, man, I want to go back now because, you know, the more I can get all jazzed about a cloud now and stuff, and I'm growing in my appreciation of creation and just seeing God in it and looking at it as not just environment, but looking at it as art. You know, he painted those skies. He spread them out like a curtain, his word says. And so I think that's the kind of environmentalism we want to practice as disciples of Jesus Christ. That we have that kind of love for the environment because it's the Lord's. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So even though it's broken, as I said, even though it's, you know, been hurt by mankind, even though, you know, we've done things and, you know, certainly nature has problems and things are running haywire on this earth, the earth is still the Lord's and the fullness of it. And it still bears His signature, it still bears His fingerprints, His vision, His imagination. So that should make us grow in our appreciation for creation and for the environment, which is His art. It's not just where we are, but it's His art piece as disciples. You know, and I think that that's on a practical level. You know, we as Christians tend to have that attitude where, oh, we don't care about that. It's all going to burn. You know, whatever. It's all going to burn. So, you know, we're not going to do anything with trash everywhere. I like how Jason, if you guys know Jason, he has a quirky sense of humor. And he says, people that smoke always think like they can just litter because they, you know, stepped it out. So what if we did that with any piece of trash? You know, just throw it on the floor. Okay, it's okay. I don't have to throw it away. You know, he's like, what is that? Why is it just because it's a cigarette butt and you stepped on it, you get to leave it there? That's not fair. So he's like, I'll step on, you know, my wrappers from McDonald's and walk away, you know. But no, we want to not trash the environment. We want it to look beautiful as the Lord intended it. And our role here as caretakers, as stewards that He's placed us in, to subdue all creation. That doesn't mean to lord over it as if we hated it and it was just for our usage, to burn as much as possible and kill as much as possible. That means that we're supposed to take care of it and nurture it and nurture the beauty that God's built into it. Yeah, it's all going to burn, but that has nothing to do with how we're supposed to live now. He's going to make a new heaven that is, and a new earth that is perfect, that is glorious, that is uncorrupted, but that has nothing to do with how He's called us now to live in His kingdom. And I think that's one thing we could do that would really speak a lot to, you know, to people around us that maybe don't believe. I was talking at the conference, one of my workshops, saying, you know, a lot of times when we're just being jerks and just being, you know, factually argumentative and not really investing in the hearts of people that we try to witness to or whatever, you know, arguing about the gospel or whatever, you know, we can think, oh, I'm being persecuted because I'm a believer. No, usually we're being persecuted because we're being jerks. You know, what if we got persecuted because we were the ones that, you know, kept standing up and saying, no, we're going to protect the environment, you know, instead of being the ones that were always, it's all going to burn. What if we got persecuted from the other angle? Because people were like, you guys are a bunch of tree-hugging hippies. I think Jesus appreciated creation that way. So, creation is in this constant state of mission, and how wonderful for us to join in and to grow in our exposure to our great artist. Just thinking about any artist that we observe, that we appreciate, the more we take in, the more we appreciate it, the more we get an understanding of all of it. And that's how He's put it here before us. That all the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork day and night. Speech is being spoken. Knowledge is being revealed. And there's no speech or language throughout the earth where that's not understood. People know that this beauty implies someone who can create like that. They know that creation implies a creator. Design implies a designer. It's built into us to know that. It's the general revelation of creation. What an amazing thing. This psalm itself goes on beyond general revelation. If you look down to verse 7, it goes to special revelation. The revelation of God's word specifically to His people. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is what God declares through His servant David. There's a general revelation of Him. There's a special revelation of Him through His word, how He's spoken to us, often through other people that He's raised up, through His Son, ultimately. And I think it's cool when you think about it and saying, you know, God here as an artist, God here as a creator, as an author. and appreciating His creation, His artistic sensibilities, His artistic nature in creating. What's the biggest book in the Bible? Not a trick question. Think about where we are tonight. Psalms. Thank you. Biggest book in the Bible, everybody? Now, is it significant at all that the biggest book in the Bible is not a book, it's not an epistle, it's not a scientific book, it's not a book about the end of the world, it's a book of poetry. Book of poetry. And there's more theology contained here in this poetry than often there is in any, you know, historical book or anything, that it's so united. Theology and poetry for God. There, one doesn't have any context without the other. It's another thing we were talking about in one of the workshops that we were doing down there at the conference, that, you know, to God, there's no meaning of theology outside of the beauty of poetry. Conversely, there's no meaning to poetry, to, you know, to clever words, to metaphor, to simile, to any of the things He uses here outside of its rooting in theology, the truth of who He is. Those things are in perfect paradox, in perfect union, in perfect harmony. And so, we who have come to understand His special revelation, His non-general revelation, we know the law of the Lord, we know Jesus Christ has fulfilled it, we know He saved us, we know He's come into the world. But sometimes to take that step back and go back to that general revelation that exists all over the world, and to grow in that, in our appreciation, our exposure to the great artist, I really think it's just key to discipleship and something we want to be growing in, something we want to be experiencing. We need to take a hike up that creek again. That was too much fun last year. And doing more things like that. Get out, you know, get outside of the house and you know, sit somewhere and just take in what God has done with His amazing paintbrush, the skies He's put out like a canopy, like curtains. Growing in that exposure and that appreciation of His great art, the work of God. Let's pray.